Hello and welcome to our podcast here in Lumpkin County, the heart of the North Georgia Mountains. Today we will be talking with students from our community and our beautiful region. We want to give them an opportunity to tell their interesting stories to all of you today. The people in North Georgia truly do have something great to share. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to share this with all of your friends. With all of these stories, we welcome you to listen and enjoy what we have to offer.
The Story of the Seven Seas by Jaden Gerald. Part 1, The Call to Adventure. Allowing unsanctioned goods to go beyond the docks of Integrity Harbor went against the code of any respectable harbor master. However, to Walker Prince, privateer turned harbor master, his code revolved around ships trading the wares they possessed. He believed goods should be traded despite the manner of acquired possession. He also felt that goods should be distributed through sales of questionable exchanges of possession. This personal constitution was entirely sensible to him. That is, as long as one didn't dwell on the specifics of the reasoning nor look too closely at the benefits Walker received from upholding his laborious conviction. Walker Prince may have been looking away while gold lucre fell into his outstretched hand as crates of jewels were unloaded from the courier, a fishing boat, when a parrot alighted upon his shoulder. A message was relayed between squawks. "Pants, squawk! Need a fitting squawk!" Walker whipped his head in every direction, causing the parrot's wing to scratch his face in its attempt to remain upright. The docks were deserted. Sailors had moored earlier and were now reveling in taverns. The courier's crew had vanished to unknown whereabouts, which could be located in the third abandoned warehouse at the corner of Providence Way and Berry Lane. Not one sailor, dock worker, or tourist had managed to evade Walker Prince during his time as harbor master. His eyes scanned the ships, searching for hastily painted names or discolored flags. If his eyes were so keen, then how had a carrier parrot, a favorite messenger of a notorious pirate king, been sent to him with no trace of the original sender? Carrier parrots could only travel 30 miles a day if winds were favorable. They were bred for transmitting messages across the fleets of ships, where rest could be easily sought out. Walker looked out to the horizon. The sun was barely beginning its descent into the sea, and not a cloud marred the infinite expanse of blue above. He knew he could see 50 miles out. He had tested his sight for scenarios precisely like this one, a scenario that involved a cryptic parrot and potentially undesirable meeting but being forced upon a certain harbor master. The parrot, seemingly bored, repeated his message once more before launching itself from Walker's sleeve. The bird didn't head towards the open water. Instead, it headed inland, its red feathers catching the fading sun in a brilliant aura as it coasted in the direction of Queen's Lane, where Walker Prince resided with his wife. Struck with a newfound sense of terror, Walker abandoned his post on the docks and rushed towards his home, forgetting to look behind his shoulder one final time to see a barely visible blot with unfurled sails crest over the horizon. The gravel walk to Walker's front door made it impossible to approach the colonial house quietly. He attempted to creep along the tropical plants that lined the walk, but every step ended in a crunch. He slid behind an out-of-control bird-of-paradise flower, positioning himself into a crouch. Walker observed the house. He saw the lights on, could hear nothing, and there were no signs of distress. He nearly laughed at his paranoia when the parrot from earlier landed on his porch railing. Its black eyes stared directly at Walker. It almost looked accusatory. Steeling himself, Walker emerged from his hiding place when another parrot landed beside the first. Its blue coloring was complemented by the orange collar woven from intricate knots that clung to its neck. Looking closer at the pair, Walker realized that both birds shared the same collar. In his moment of inspection, another parrot landed, and another, and another. Each of the birds wore the same knotted collar. Parrots of every color surrounded him, perching on his house, and the plants are even circling above in unconcerned patterns. Their squawking forced all former thought out of Walker's head. He couldn't hear anything over the din of parrot cries.
"I can hear squawking!" Squawked. "Pants in need of running!"
The cacophony of messengers continued to repeat the phrase, turning it into a war chant. Birds sounded in every direction. Walker couldn't see the sun through the dizzying array of flitting pigment that blocked it. When Walker was nearly forced to his knees by swooping birds, his front door slammed open. The parrot stopped screeching, stopped moving. The ones in the air landed on the gravel when the plants could not support another burden. They attentively stared at the figure that emerged. Walker stared with the birds. A man with an orange plumed hat and an elaborate silk doublet stepped onto Walker's porch. His stance was familiar, unconcerned. Walker stood straight up and set his jaw. In a voice more clear than glass, he declared,
"Captain Walker Prince, ready for ship and sails."
Captain Renshaw King, otherwise known as the Captain, smiled at Walker, revealing gold molars and decaying teeth. "Harbormaster Prince, I feel a joke is in there somewhere."
Walker said nothing. Land has turned you stony. The captain quaffed at his own jest, causing his spittle to relocate itself onto numerous parrots. Not one of them stirred among the turned. When Walker remained silent, the captain continued, "Come inside. I have a proposition." Inside his home, furniture and decorations had been subtly rearranged. Chairs now resided in a clinically straight line, and paintings had been organized into a color wheel display. It featured an orange abstract work at the center. "Walker, you didn't tell me you were expecting company," said Melody, Walker's wife. "I'm sorry," he said, moving to stand beside her. "I must have forgotten." Anyways, Renshaw helped me move the furniture while we waited for you. Wasn't that nice? Walker nodded, keeping his gaze fixed on the captain, who had seated himself at the head of the dining table. The aging man had a multitude of maps before him. Some pictured mountain ranges or cave systems, but most featured archipelagos, island chains, and lines displaying open sea with no land but or in the most utmost corners. "Melody, could you please fetch me a glass of water?" said Walker.
"Me too.
I'm parched," chimed the captain. Melody hummed an answer, disappearing into the kitchen, leaving the two men alone. "How can I help you, Renshaw?" The captain's voice turned icy. "Watch it, Walker." Walker stifled a retort. "I need you to find something for me, a treasure more valuable than all the gold, diamonds, and jewels than we've ever possessed." "I'm sorry, Captain, but I'm no longer a privateer for hire." Walker seated himself at the other end of the table, directly across from the captain. "I serve as this port's harbor master. I'm afraid I can't be spared." The captain removed another parchment from a previously hidden pocket. Not bothering to unroll it, he tossed it to Walker, who caught it easily. Writing the parchment across his empty stretch of table, Walker's eyes widened as Renshaw King's grin grew.
"You found it?"
Walker's voice was barely a whisper. His hand stroked the chart of humanity, a map created long ago by a long-forgotten king. "Legend says it leads to man's greatest desire," said King. "I know the legend." Walker blinked, looking away from the map before he agreed to a hasty decision. "Legend also says that to follow the map, Raconum's net must be cast upon the mimics of the wind. The net is a fairy tale." "Do you really think so?" The captain snapped his fingers, and the red parrot from the dock soared into the room. Walker could not discern where it flew in from. All the windows were shut. The captain unhooked the collar from the bird. The animal seemed to sink into the table, appearing fatigued despite the energy it presented moments ago. "What was the story of Raconum?" "He was a prince who resided over the animal kingdom. When hunters began decimating his domain, he created a magical net. It was trapped," and Walker flourished his hands and changed those it covered. "Raconum used that magic to transform the hunters into his servants. They grew beaks and wings and lost the ability to speak their own thought. But they were great mimics," finished Melody, who had procured three glasses of water and a small tray of fruit. "And thus, the first parrots were created." "Fabulous. And those parrots obeyed the will of Raconum as long as he possessed the net," stated Renshaw. "But what you may not know is that when a king from a faraway land claimed to have buried man's greatest desire on an unlocatable island, Raconum sent his new servants to discover the news of the treasure. He feared that man's greatest desire meant the destruction of his creatures, so his parrots spent the following years learning pieces of information to deliver to the prince. One bird stayed behind wherever news was found, and that's how parrots spread," said Melody. Walker and the captain gaped at her. She shrugged, popping a wedge of pineapple into her mouth. "Yes, but as time went on, Raconum grew old, and his parrots returned to him on his deathbed, each one reciting a snippet of information about the faraway king's treasure." Renshaw continued, "Raconum created a map based on what he was told. He gave it to his son along with the net because the map was written in a cipher that only a Raconum parrot can understand." Walker interrupted. "I love story time as much as the next," he glanced at Melody, considering asking her to leave. His decision was made for him when Melody spoke. His son embarked on a sea voyage to find the treasure after his father's death. He wanted to ensure the survival of Raconum's kingdom, and he believed the only way to do that was to destroy what the Forgotten King buried. She paused. His ship went down in a violent storm, and the map and Raconum's net were lost to the depths of the sea. She took a sip of her water before continuing. "But you found them, and now you want my husband to find the treasure." Walker looked from the captain to Melody. He was not sure who to speak to first. "Yes," said the captain. Melody's blue eyes became harsh. "If he won't, I will." Walker choked on his water. "Melody, you can't mean I, Melody Prince, accept this voyage on behalf of Walker Prince." "No, I, Walker Prince, accept this voyage. I'm coming." Walker didn't know how to disagree. He wasn't sure when he returned to a life of pirateering. Despite this, he was going to find an unimaginable treasure, and his wife was coming with him. The captain clapped his hands together. He looked pleased, but not surprised. Had he known how this conversation would play out? Eager to regain some control, Walker stood from the table. "We leave at dawn. Captain, please send a messenger parrot to the docks and ask a ship to be prepared." The captain smiled. "You leave now. Your ship is already anchored and awaiting your arrival." Walker spluttered, but Melody merely nodded. "It's stocked with all necessary provisions." King looked at Walker. "Arrive back with the treasure and I will discuss payment with you.
After receiving a pointed look from Melody, he amended, "I will discuss payment with both of you." Melody started for the door, leaving the fruit and water out on the table. Walker paused when he reached the threshold. "Should we find the treasure? What makes you certain we'll give it to you?" Renshaw King, the captain, stopped smiling. "I think it best you not find out my reasoning." He strode towards Walker, gently placing the map in his hand. "Take Albert. He's my best." The red parrot, Albert, landed again on Walker's shoulder. Walker, Melody, and Albert left the house with its gravel path and tropical plants. The captain watched them walk away, twisting the feather on his plumed hat. The trio arrived at the docks without incident. They boarded their ship, the Revealer, with the help of the waiting crew. Walker wished to familiarize himself with the first mate before setting sail. He hadn't offered to shake the man's hand when a bell rang. The ringing was followed by a rush of heat, which knocked both men off their feet. The crew began racing around, rigging lines, pulling up the anchor. Looking back at the docks he had stood on moments before, Walker didn't recognize the scene. Fire engulfed every vessel. Some sort of explosion had occurred. The Revealer lurched into motion, making it impossible for Walker to concern himself with what had happened at the docks. Every pair of hands was needed to safely maneuver the ship. The crew calmed down as they reached open waters. Walker listened to the waters lapping against the vessel's side. He allowed himself to be lulled by the metronome when he heard a sound that should not be located on a privateer vessel. He heard a bell ringing. "Get down!" he screamed. The Revealer's mast erupted into splinters and flame rained down on the seamen.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Jaden Gerald's The Story of the Seven Seas. Please stay tuned for part two of this adventure next week. You can find more episodes of the Principles Podcast on Podbean, Spotify, Apple Music, and iHeartRadio. Yeah.